Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy a select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid to 5/6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hey, got a crazy family? Love hearing stories about crazy families? Then you need to check out our brand new podcast called My Crazy Family, available wherever you get podcasts. Just search My Crazy Family right now, press subscribe, and don't miss any brand new episodes of My Crazy Family. You can even share your stories if you so please. We'd love to hear them. My Crazy Family. Search and subscribe wherever you download podcasts.
Today on an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online that will bring back repressed traumatic childhood memories of that time you walked in on your mom and dad getting their freak on late in the night. And they had to explain to you that sometimes mamas and daddas like to play dress up. As you stared in horror at your father, bound and gagged, bent over the ironing table, holding your pet gerbil Snuckles in his mouth, and your mom wearing a leather bra that said, Lena, the Pain Queen. What happens when a group of teenagers cruise the streets of their hometown late into the night, only to come upon a group of strange men, seemingly marching in unison down a dark, deserted street? Who are these figures? Were they human? And why were they terrifying this community? That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is, 855-853-4802. Call it 24-7. Share your real ghost story with us, or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want access to all of our bonus stuff, we have so much of it to give you. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Would you like it with no commercials? None at all? Plus, to get advanced episodes of the show and exclusive EPP bonus episodes, hit that at ghostpodcast.com. You can also go through Patreon, the link there at ghostpodcast.com. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. Going on?
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Hey, so I just got back from a little haunted vacation.
A haunted vacation?
It kind of was. I mean, it wasn't intentionally a haunted vacation or anything like that.
Were you seeking it out? Was the next question. But
well, I went to where my sister lives and they have that haunted building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we went there, confirmed once again, yeah, the building's haunted.
Wasn't it like originally a funeral home or something? Or
it was a funeral home, yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, like I saw, you know when you see those black and white super creepy photos of old-timey guys sitting around or whatever it might be?
Yeah.
They had a picture of the original building with a bunch of these old-timey guys sitting there. It just is like, I couldn't even look at it. It just creeped me out to even look at that picture. Nothing like it was haunted or anything like that in the picture. It's just like, I don't know. It's like those guys are sitting right where I'm sitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just weird. Because the picture is probably from like 19, I don't know, it was an old black and white fuzzy one.
Yeah.
1920s, probably.
Sure. So 100 years ago.
The first day that photography came about, one or the other. I don't know, because the building's from like, I don't know, 1860 or something like that. 1875. I can't remember. But anyway, it's just the creepiest building. And I'm going to separate these into two different stories. So I'll tell the stories about that building first.
Okay.
So we're there, and my other sister originally had bought the building. And when she moved out, she put a bunch of her stuff into the back room of that building, that upper floor. And it's creepy. I don't like going back there. And so she says, "Hey, since you're going back, would you get me my Halloween decorations?" And I'm like, "Yeah, then I got to go in that back room, right?" So she says, "Well, that's where they're at." So we go up there, and it's got this apartment, and the apartment, the tenants just moved out. So we're checking all out. We go into the back room, and that back room it's bigger than my house.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how many square feet's back there. 2,000 square feet, probably. Okay. I mean, it's maybe 1,500 square feet. I mean, yeah. It's big.
Yeah.
And so, so I get her on FaceTime, because I'm like, "Hey, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this?" And so she's kind of telling me what she wants. And then she says, "Yeah, go look at the headstone." I'm like, "What are you talking about, a headstone?" So she's like, "Yeah, in the back corner." So I walk back there and realize that my friend is not in the room. He's taking some of the stuff downstairs. And I'm like, "Shit, back here looking for a damn headstone. Are you kidding me?" And so I go, "There's no headstone back here." And she goes, "Yeah, there is. It says Edith." And I'm like, "But it's not here." And she goes, "No, it's on the floor." Because I go, "These are just old windows."
Oh.
Sure enough, right there on the floor, it's just looks like. And my other sister said, "Well, is it just kind of a marker?" And I said, "A marker for what?"
Edith.
It's Edith. Like, what would need to be marked Edith? You know,
so
I don't know.
Is buried in the basement.
But it was creepy.
Yeah.
So I run away basically from that. And then my sister says, "Hey, do you see grandma's little overnight bag she used to have? It was like this old lady bag that my grandma took with her everywhere. It was kind of like your toiletries bag from the 1960s or something."
Yeah.
50s. So I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Yeah." I go, "It's right here." Cause I saw it as soon as I came up here. It's just right there. And James and I were talking about it. And she says, "Would you bring that back?" And I go, "Yeah, what's in it?" Cause there's something in it. And she goes, "Well, open it up." So I open it up. It's got the freaking creepy ass doll in it.
Oh,
it's a Cupid doll from probably the 1910 era.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, and her wedding dress. So I'm like, cool about the wedding dress, creepy about this doll. And I'm like, "Kathy, I got this thing about creepy dolls."
Yeah.
So I had a really hard time with it. And so I brought it home and I wasn't sure what to do with it. So it's in my garage. And so when I put it in my garage, I did have a talk with it to it.
Mm-hmm. With it?
And my grandma. I was like, "Grandma, you know, I love you and I would love to have this in my house, but you know, I just can't." Mm-hmm. And I'm even laying in bed last night. Like, I can't sleep. I got a creepy doll in my house. Isn't that weird? Like, so anyway, but you know, my other sister's going, "So did you take the creepy doll in your house?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know what to do with it. It's in my garage. My garage is attached."
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it. But I think, you know, I think because it's my grandma's, like, she's not going to scare me. She wouldn't do that.
No.
So that night we have dinner and we're the only ones, restaurant's closed. So we're the only ones in the building, my sister and her family. And so we're talking and everybody there has a story about the upstairs. Because even my sister has seen something on the main floor. But it's the upstairs where everybody had a story. And so, like, my niece said, when she was about 12, My sister had a baseball. We're all baseball fans. And she had a baseball on her mantle, like the fireplace mantle up there. Mm-hmm. And Sophia got up to walk into the other room and something hit her in the middle of the back and turned around. It was the baseball.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, well, that's creepy. And then my nephew was talking about how, and I think we did an episode with him from that apartment years ago.
Yeah,
and so you could go back and listen to some of it.
I remember
that. But he
that.
Saw a female figure and like with an old timey hairdo and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so like she kind of leaned from the kitchen like it was just a shadow and he looked up and so she kind of was leaning out and he's like, oh my God, you know, there's something looking at me. So him and his roommate named her Chelsea. And so then, I'm getting all the chills talking about this. So then he, another night he's by himself and he saw the same thing out of the corner of his eye. And he said out loud, I know it's you. I saw you. And he said, you know, I'm just chilling. I'm just reading. And right then he saw her just walk across the kitchen, which there was nothing to walk into. She walked through it. And I was like, holy shit. And then my brother-in-law is like, he's really, there's nothing up there, you know, it's all good. But he's like, when my nephew Giovanni lived up there, he, you know, like had this vision thing of this woman who didn't like people drinking and all this stuff. And so then my nephew is like, oh my God, maybe that was Chelsea. And I said, well, maybe it was Edith. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, well, the damn tombstone that's up there.
Yeah.
And then that's when my sister who lives there says, well, she goes, it's just a marker. That's when we had the big conversation. Marker of what? And so Giovanni's like, it's not up there. And I said, oh yeah, I just saw it today. And then my brother-in-law is like, let's all go look at it. And we're all like, oh, hell no. Mm-hmm. It's 10 o'clock at night. Last thing I'm going to do is go up there. But it was just like this. Everybody there had this creepy ass story about being upstairs and that. And then my sister was talking about one time they had had tenants that moved out. So they had cleaned it and they cleaned the windows. And so it's a pretty big staircase. And about halfway up is where the door is and it locks. And then the rest of the way up the stairs, that's the apartment. So there's a little bit that would be anybody could walk up. So she's like, she looks up there and she's like, ah, dang it. I thought I cleaned that window. Someone must have gone up there and touched the window. So she gets up there and it's a little kid handprint and a bigger handprint. So she goes to wash it off and it's on the inside. And she took pictures of it. And it's on the inside of the window.
That's spooky.
So we're sitting in this empty restaurant with the haunted upstairs, the haunted downstairs, the haunted main floor. And I'm like, oh, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
So I did, got out of there and brought a creepy ass doll home.
You brought the horror with you.
But it was my grandmother. So I'm like, that's all good.
That makes it all better.
But I'm like, I'm literally, last night I got home and texted my sister and said, when can you come pick this up? The thing is I got the feeling it'd be like 2 weeks. Oh, I'm like, certainly somebody's going from my town to her town and I can just send it. Like, here you go. Take this to my sister. She wants this.
And after you send it, the doll shows back up on your porch the next morning with a cigarette and it starts ashing it on your foot. Why did you get rid of me?
Why did you get rid of me? I'm here to
I'll be like,
you
were never mine. I couldn't get rid of you. You weren't mine.
Now you're mine.
I didn't even know if I could share this story because it's in the attached garage.
Yeah.
I was like, if I talk about it, will that make it worse?
It will know that you're talking about it.
I know it, Tony.
It knows you're talking about it. And
it's just creepy.
It doesn't necessarily like that you're talking about it late at night.
But I love my grandma. I love my grandma so much. I loved my grandmother. She died in the, I don't know, early 80s, I think.
You know.
And so I'm just going to talk about how much I loved her. And you quit talking like that. And let's just move on to another ghost story that will cheer me up.
But Grandma had a secret. Grandma.
Quit it, Tony.
Practice black magic.
Quit it, Tony.
That doll was at the center of it all.
I'm going to take off my headphones and I won't hear any of this shit.
Okay, well, let's continue on.
Let's go to a happy ghost story. Can we start with a happy ghost?
Yeah. This one starts out, this is a story about Carol Hughes. interesting.
And a doll.
It's like
this has nothing to do with Carol Hughes, but oh, look, it's a story about a doll.
It's like a biographical story. Here we go. It says, hi, everyone. Thank you for sharing my story. I love listening to your show and look forward to every new episode. I've become more fascinated with stories since my experience, but have yet to hear anything like my own. So my quest for answers continues. Maybe sharing this will help find those answers. My story took place around 1993-94. I was 18 years old and living in a small town in southern Utah. Living in a small town, we did small town things to entertain ourselves. One of the few but popular options among the high school population was to drag Maine. This consisted of driving from the end of Main Street to the other end, trying to link up with friends or meet new ones. Preferably a car full of cute boys. Main Street was barely a half mile. I believe there are only two stoplights. My red Subaru hatchback was loaded full of my friends, more girls than seatbelts. We had taken several drags down the main and struck it out. So we decided to detour off the beaten path. There's a good chance we had a Salt and Pepper or George Michael album blaring from the factory speaker and peach schnapps concealed in our soda cups, which could have easily been our deterrent. But we were determined to make a connection, so we left Main Street behind. We had two options, one drive through the town cemetery and tell a story of the devoted cat that comes and sits on her owner's grave every night since she died. A story everyone in town has heard a million times. It's now become a rite of passage. You drive slowly through the graveyard, and if you turn your lights on this particular headstone just right, looks like the silhouette of a cat. Newcomers gasp. The rest of us pretend to. Like I said, small town entertainment. Or there is a second option. Cruise the college streets. The heartbeat of this little town. In hopes of meeting someone new who hasn't got the memo to drag Maine. We opted for the latter and struck out there too. Damn Salt and Pepper. So, we were finishing up our detour and heading back towards Maine for one last drag down Maine before calling it a night. We were about four blocks away when we approached a stoplight, laughing about whether we had time to do a Chinese fire drill or not, and if you don't know what that is, it's where everyone gets out of the car at a red light and runs around the car and tries to make it back to their seat before the light turns green. Like I said, small town fun. When suddenly I look up from our shenanigans, and there in front of me were six men crossing the lane directly in front of us. All six men, however, were walking in single file, which seemed rather odd and unnerving for that hour of the night. All in step with a straight back facing forward, some height and crossing from the right corner where a mortuary stood. It's a fact that didn't stand out at the time and really didn't even cross my mind until years later when sharing this location of this incident. So crossing from right corner mortuary to left where the school bus garage and Baptist church stood on opposite corners. We're frozen, trying to make sense of what we were seeing. Looked out of place for this time of night, or for any time, really. Something was weird. Our frozen observance was quickly broken, with a friend ordering me to follow them. When the light turned green, I made a quick left turn to follow them between the garage and church. We rolled down our windows, laughing at the oddity and searching for understanding of this bizarre scene. Through our laughter, you could hear several of us questioning, "What are you guys doing?" Without saying a word, they continued marching in sync and staring straight ahead. They were met with only a profile of six faces, which only piqued our curiosity further. So we inquired again and again. We were non-relenting. Then suddenly, a response. But it wasn't the response we expected. It jarred us and froze us for a brief moment. As if in a choreographed move, they all quickly snapped their heads towards us. All six pair of identical eyes, unidentical faces, frames, and identical hairstyles. Coldly stared. It was like staring into a mirror that is facing another and seeing exact replicas of oneself repeating indefinitely. But here, it wasn't my face, but another. And it, they, shouted in unison, "Go away." Suddenly another shout woke me from my shock and disbelief, this time from my back seat. "Drive!" Now, on a side road, I was half a block away from the "What was that?" Another voice. "We have to go back. Turn around. Let's follow them. Remember, small town fun." "Why the hell not? We have nothing better to do." We are now only a small town block away. We flip around and head back. We were met with the void where they once stood. They were completely gone. Just a dark street. Nowhere for them to go. No street lights, business lights, house lights. Nothing. If they went into a building, a light would be on. No buildings to go in. In that amount of time, just gone. We tried to make sense of it and drove along the cross street that separated the block we had just drove down, and nothing. Defeated and confused, our laughter had turned into shock and silence as we headed back to the corner. We took the detour that lured us off track. We sat on the dark side street in silence, waiting for the red glow above the bath. The only sound was from my blinker, a steady sound signaling a left-hand turn. When suddenly we felt it, it was tangible. The thought gives me goosebumps still to this day. Above us, it crept. Our heads snapped up collectively to see what above us could possibly be, and it was massive darkness, undeniable darkness, slowly engulfing us in its depth, in its mysterious shadow. The blackness weighed heavily upon our innocence. Suddenly, green reflected from our terrified eyes, and we were released from the clutches of the darkness. Before I had completed that left-hand turn to pick up where we had originally left off, we were all in tears. Full-blown sobbing tears. We were shaken. No explanation. No answers. But real, undeniable, yet unexplainable fear. Fear that hit each of us the same. Made our skin crawl and our core shake. And our eyes tear up and made us sink into areas of our soul we never knew existed. Seeking solace and an escape from the unknown. What do you think of that one?
So, when they went back, what exactly was that?
When they went back, they were not there. The people were just right. Gone.
But they got a weird... like it was a feeling sort of thing?
Yes, it was a feeling sort of thing of like they were trapped. There were some moments where they were just horrified but didn't know why.
Well, because they just saw that.
Yes.
I think that's the simple explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? As you were reading that and I'm like, could be paranormal. But then... I lived in a really little town like that where you would drag Maine, you'd go out by the college, like you would do all those things. So it was very much like what we did, except no peach schnapps. I think, I can't remember what it was we snuck. It was something nasty. Anyway, so you would do that, drive around. Like maybe it was a bunch of guys just messing with people because they had nothing better to do either.
It was the Klan.
I don't know. I'm like, I was thinking that, and I'm like, that's how you get other people in a small town is you do this crazy shit that you wouldn't do anywhere else because you're just messing with them because nobody's going to expect to see that.
Yeah.
It's just an idea.
Could be, but I mean, if they turned around right away and there really wasn't any place for them to go, It's like, well,
yeah, but see, I'm trying to not think about scary shit tonight. So I'm Carol the debunker tonight.
So you're debunking everything tonight.
I'm the one who's got the creepy ass doll.
It's going to be creepy if you looked out your window and you just saw seven men.
Oh my God.
Walking.
Don't hear that, because that would be creepy.
And they all simultaneously turn their heads and look at you, and they look exactly like George Michael on the Faith album. They got the little cross earring.
Like George?
And then they all look forward and they start walking again and they just keep going. Yep.
I used to live with my friend John, and so I was on my bed reading. So I had lights on in my room and it was nice. So I had the windows open, and he had like this old timey wig head figure. So you just put your wigs on it.
Yeah.
And so I'm just laying in bed reading, and I hear this scrape on my screen.
Ew.
So that scared the shit out of me, right? And I look over and it was I didn't go, oh my God, it's the wig head thing. I would scream.
Yeah.
Because it looked like this ghost head thing. It's like, yeah. Jesus Christ. And then I heard him laughing. I was like, oh, you asshole. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they could have been, you know, what exactly it was that they saw. Maybe if they all kind of looked the same, was there like a, I don't know. I don't know what they saw.
Oh, it could
pretty
be
creepy though.
No matter what. Yeah. A very creepy experience. And I think I would have been screaming just as loud as those girls had I been in that,
right?
In that vehicle at that time. That would be a very creepy experience. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And let's see if I can get this call to open up here for us. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, what's up? So this is probably not a story for Harper. This is more of an adult story, but also a horror story at the same time. So a few years ago, I had just gotten married, and me and my ex-husband, we were in the honeymoon stages, and, you know, we would do with most, you know, what most newlyweds would do, and just, you know, adult things. So, we lived quite a ways away from his grandmother. She was elderly and she kind of lived on her own. So we would drive to her house every weekend and, you know, check on her, take out her garbage, you know, make sure the dishes were clean and just make sure the duties that she really couldn't do were done. So, you know, routinely we'd go over there on the weekend. She was Jehovah's Witness, so she would go to church on Saturday evenings. So this one Saturday she leaves and goes to church. And my ex-husband, he's not my ex-husband, yes. My ex-husband, he wanted to do some X-rated things. And I was like, no, you know, we're at your grandmother's house. It's inappropriate. Well, he grew up in this house since he was a little kid. And so he basically had the same exact bedroom his whole entire life. So he talked me into doing, you know, having sex with him. So we're like going in, you know, we're newlyweds, we're freshly married, we're young. So we're like going in for like, you know, I'm talking about headboard banging, just we were going in. Okay. And then in the mix of us going in, we hear like a knock, and it wasn't like a bang. It was more like a knock, like as if someone heard us doing it and they were like, excuse me, like, what are you guys doing? You know? So he jumps up, I jump up, and we're both just like, oh my God, you know what? Oh my God. And we're like just getting our naked. I'm trying to rush, grab my clothes. He's trying to rush to grab his. So he's like, on the count of three, I'm going to open the door. And I'm like, okay. So on the count of three, he opens the door and the house is pitch black. There's nobody there. So we go around the whole entire house thinking that, you know, maybe his grandmother's playing a trick on us, or we don't know. So we're like, okay, that was just super weird. So at this point, we're just like, okay, we're done with sex. You know, maybe we should just do our duties and get ready to go home. So that's when he set me down and told me, he's like, well, you know, my grandfather died in this house. And I'm like, wait, what? And why are you just now telling me this? Like, I've been coming over here, you know. by myself and this and the other. And he goes, yeah, you know, back in the 70s, I guess his grandfather was like really abusive to his grandmother. And in self-defense, she shot him and killed him in between the hallway and the room that we were in. So I was just like, are you serious? So after that day, I kind of really didn't go over there that much. It kind of gave me the creeps, that's first. And secondly, I told him this is exactly why I didn't want to do it, because I felt there was something just not right. So yeah, that is my X-rated ghost story. So yeah, I hope you liked, and I love the podcast. I love the show. You guys are doing an amazing job. Thanks.
Wow. So,
but how did that not ever come up, that his grandmother killed his grandfather?
You think that would be in some of the conversation somewhere? That seems
right,
like quite
he
a
got married, you know, especially yeah. when you're going over there all the time.
Yeah, just
and
like
she's Jehovah Witness, which makes it even weirder.
It's just like fun antidote, you know. My
so
grandma.
It's like, and maybe it wasn't the same grandma. Maybe there was another, like the house had been another generation.
Yeah.
So maybe it was like her mom killed her dad in that house. That could have been it too. But still, if you're going over to that house all the time, it seems like the first time you take somebody house like that, you go, oh my God. So before we get there, let me tell you about this.
Yeah. Although I don't know, maybe there's a lot of people who are just not as morbid as we are that would be like, you know, I hope they never have to find this out, you know? And
Yeah, I can see that.
But
I mean, he's also the guy who's banging his wife in the house.
That's true.
I mean,
I don't know.
I don't think he's like,
I know, like, yeah, like, I don't know. I just, so the thought of it is you have creepy ghost grandpa watching you guys. So
exactly.
There you go. You made a porno for your, for his dead grandpa. So
You're horrible. Like, he was a bad guy on top of it.
Yeah. Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all those bonus episodes, the advanced episodes, the EPP bonus episodes every single week exclusively for you. Sign up again, ghostpodcast.com or Patreon, and search Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.